There we go.
Here, I'll just put it there. Let me close that front door.
Yeah.
No, pain is a fucking... Pain is a fucking powerful thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's one of the primary, you know, emotions that we have along with fear, you know, and they have, you know, they play an important role, right? And it's one of
pain and fear.
Pain and fear.
Pain and fear are like probably to me the two strongest emotions that people use to control other people.
Right, right.
You know? I mean, our whole country is basically run by fear.
Yeah. Right?
Fear that they'll get sick. Fear that they'll run out of money. Fear that they won't be accepted.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you can take that, and if you can harness that, you can make anyone do anything you want, you know? Because everyone's scared of that shit. That's why, I mean, to me, that's why we live in such a fucked up time right now, because people don't have health, you know, they don't have the health insurance, they don't really have job security, they don't have these kinds of things, and when you don't have those things,
and they don't have a voice either,
that's
you know
true.
They don't have a voice, they don't have anyone speaking on subjects like you and I are in our music, where we are addressing this pain, this fear. Instead, it's masked and people are pretending and it's not there, and they're making this music that has no value or no substance. There's no substance in the music. It's all party music.
It's
like, go have a good
distract
from what's really happening. Go have a good time. Go to the club. Have your beers and have your one night stands. And you know, and they think
you can deal with the pain tomorrow.
Exactly, and I think that's the difference with what we're doing, you and I. And I think that's why, in a way, we're blessed. But it also, the industry is against us because of it, right?
Sure.
Because they don't want us to address things that are going to empower people. You know what I mean? Because empowering people doesn't fucking sell, you know, records or make money. Because
it's not part of the agenda.
Yeah, because empowering people, you're actually liberating them and having them see things for what they really are, and they don't become consumers. When you empower a person, they don't no longer become a consumer.
Yeah.
You know, so in one way, you know, it's a double-edged sword for us. But to me, it's never been about the money. It's never been about the fame. It's been about the message, you know, and the message is what's going to live forever, because this money is no longer going to fucking be of use to us when your body's no longer of use and these motherfuckers die. But what's going to live on? Their music might be relevant, but it's not timeless.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I'm saying? And I'd rather have timeless music than shit that just makes sense for today, for the club, or
for
the season.
Yeah.
This shit is seasonal.
Yeah.
And you know what? For that reason, I am very, very honored to be in the place that I am and to be surrounded by the people that I'm surrounded by, which is yourself.
Yeah, likewise.
Like Ian.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many of us out there. You know what I mean? And I'm just so grateful to be able to be around you and these type of people who are like-minded individuals, and we're able to share a common goal, which is basically empowering the people through our music.
I feel you. Do you think that like-minded individuals are brought together by something? Do you have feeling that?
Yeah, I think it's the. We're like a beacon of hope, right? And we see the light, right?
Yeah.
So we see the light amongst each other. So like, let's say you're a beacon and I'm lost at sea, right? I see the light and I go to it, and then I become that beacon for others, you know?
Yeah.
And you see me and we identify. It's like my mother used to say to me, we see what we love and what we hate about ourselves and others.
That's true.
Right? So, but I choose to see what I love about myself and others. So I see that in you and in the people that I surround myself with. I only choose to see the
good. And it makes you stronger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I don't, you know, there's already a lot of evil and a lot of fucked up shits in this world for me to be just acknowledging that all the time. You know, like, I acknowledge that in my music so that we're aware of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I also want to find, you know, the balance between that. You know, because the balance is just as important, you know.
Yeah.
And I, you know, not to go in circles, but yeah, I feel that we're always going to find those that are like us, you know. And we do. We don't always – it doesn't happen overnight. And sometimes it'll take, you know, you know, decades and shit, you know what I mean? Cause, I'm 40. I barely found you and
exactly. Ian. You may find your best friend at 50 years old.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That shit happens, you know?
I mean, I've known about you guys for a long time. Yeah. I never knew that I'd be in your presence or in your company. Yeah. But I have always known about you guys. I've always known about Ian. I've always known about you through music. And I always looked and was like, wow, these are my people. But, you know, how am I going to have access to them?
And we got put together by sheer chance.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It was like some weird show that like was like a warm-up show or something. You know, it was just like, oh, we got to play a show to get ready for this LA show. And they told me, oh, we have this band, Vampire, that's a great band. We want to put them on. And you guys went on, and I was like, this is fucking ill, man. I was like, this guy's fucking going for it.
Yeah,
man.
I'm going for it.
As soon as I saw the shrine,
because
that was the shrine days, you know what I mean? You had the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, this guy's for real.
You know,
something's happening here, you know? And I was, from then on, I was like, okay, I know that, like, I knew that your trajectory was already set when I saw that. I was like, this guy's already set for a place that he doesn't even know he's going. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, you probably even remember because we like talked back then. And
it
was like, you even had doubts because it was like you were trying to do this thing.
Yeah.
And you didn't know what the fuck was going on. Your band was like breaking up.
We're breaking up and everyone was against it. No one had the faith. So
totally,
then you surround yourselves with people that don't have faith. And if you're not strong enough, you'll fall into their thought of the way they think.
Of course.
And you'll start believing what they think.
Of course.
I had to break loose from that. And I was like, yo, I'm a person that thinks completely different from you guys. So even if I continue to hang out with you guys, I'm going to fall apart and become what you guys see the world as when I don't see it that way. So I have to remove myself so I continue to be an individual and continue to see the world the way I want to see it, which is, you know, that I'm able to shape it and mold it with my will, you know? So I had to just remove myself and fly solo until I met my bandmate Dave, who actually also sees the world as I do, which is that we can shape it and mold it to what we want it to be.
Was it hard to extract yourself at the time from
it was that? It was.
I know how it feels, but I'm wondering how you feel.
Oh, it was really hard because I found an identity in Vampire.
Yeah.
I had created it from the ground up.
Right.
So you put all this.
Finally seeing some recognition.
Yeah, it's like you work really hard at this garden, right?
Yeah.
And it, from a seed, and it starts growing and it starts sprouting, and all of a sudden, right before you see it, its little berry or little fruit, you know, it gets, you stomp it.
Yeah.
You know, and it wilts and it destroys, and you never even got to taste that its first fruit.
Everything that you put in.
Yeah. You know, and it was like that. It was like I worked so hard at this garden, then my bandmates just were like, no, you know, right when we were barely getting any type of recognition or type of attention, and then they were like, no, laters. And it was really difficult for me because I felt as they made it seem as if I was not worthy of their company or of being in bandmates with them,
like,
you know?
they didn't have your back the way you needed them to to make the fruit actually take life.
You know because rejection, no matter how it's painted, you know, whether it's like, oh, you know, it's still rejection, especially
rejection
when everyone's
rejection, dude.
Yeah, rejection is rejection, and it doesn't matter how they try to like paint it and say, oh, well, this is, you know, this is what's actually happening, is that we don't no longer want to be in this band for whatever reason because it's not going nowhere. But I felt like they were just rejecting me.
And you know, now they weren't. They were probably rejecting themselves, their own fears, their own fucking insecurities will get the best of them, but no one's ever going to say that out loud. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, no one can. So after that happened, and then you started, you were kind of working with Dave already, I remember.
Yeah.
Like, you guys had already started fucking with prayer stuff.
Yeah.
Because I remember
ritual.
Yeah, you played me some shit. Was it, when you were with him, did you feel something different about it immediately?
Yeah, I felt like I was in charge.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it was,
he made
your,
me,
it was
like,
your band.
It was my band. I was like, I'm in charge.
So Vampire was more of like a democracy.
Yeah, it was.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone had a say, and you know that saying, too many fucking cooks in the kitchen. Too many chiefs, not enough Indians. You know what I mean?
I do know, because most like, of my favorite bands were just dictatorships.
Yeah.
Most of them. There's a few here and there, but really most of my favorite groups, there's usually a focused artist that kind of drives the vision of the thing. And for some reason, that gives the project some sort of purity. You know what I mean?
Yeah, direction.
Yeah, there's a pure sort of vision of what the thing is instead
of... If not, it turns into debates.
Yeah.
And everyone's just debating on what the fucking... the smallest details to what the logo should be like. When I already have an idea, an identity. I have an identity.
Yeah, you know what you
want.
And
I just need someone to say, hey, we got your back.
Exactly.
You know?
Which is... it's not easy to find.
Yeah. So when I found Dave, for me, it was heaven sent, you know, because look at us now.
Yeah.
You know, fast forward 2 years, you know, we're headlining fucking shows. We're fucking making great money. We're selling out shows. There's a demand that we have an audience.
You're able to do art on your terms, which is like...
we are living off of our music.
That's the actual... yeah. That's like the dream of every kid who ever wants to get into music.
Yeah.
Painting... film, whatever, being able to live off of it, you know, not having a master, and being able to do it on your terms. I mean, that's a big one, because a lot of people figure out how you can figure out how to make a living off art, but can you figure out how to do it on your terms? That's a whole different ballgame. You know what I mean? I feel like anyone that has a little bit of talent could probably develop a career for themselves. You know, you see it all across the world,
right?
If you're able to kind of play the game and bend towards what you know will probably...
yeah, the recipe, the formulas are out there,
yeah,
right? And we can copy the formulas.
Yeah, there's formulas.
Yeah.
You know, that's the road more traveled.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But
people see something that works and they're like, okay, this works. Let's do that. And then we have if you're a great musician, you can... copy whatever trend is trendy at the moment and have a successful band.
Exactly.
But to be an individual and to bring something that's refreshing and different and that's pure, you know, it's a risk.
It is a risk.
Because
it's a fucking risk.
You know, you don't know if it's... but for me, it was never about the payoff. For me, it was just about identity and self-awareness and self-exploration. Because for me, this entire time, this whole process of music, art, writing has all been about self-exploration. That's all it's been. It's about me trying to find a relationship with me. About me trying to figure out who I am and befriend myself in the process. And through it, find understanding of how my mind and my heart and my spirit works. And why I see the world the way I see it. And it's all been about reflecting. And I'm able to do it through my craft.
Yeah.
That I was blessed and brave. I was brave enough. To accept it in my life and acknowledge it, because a lot of people don't acknowledge themselves, don't acknowledge the things that they want or desire, or don't have the courage to, because of whatever reason, whether it's their family, society.
They'll be persecuted by somebody.
Which I have, and I know you have too.
Of course.
We've both been prosecuted, right? We have
people
casting stones and you know, casting spells and doing whatever they can to have us not make them feel inferior for not living up to their expectations
of their own life. Yeah, exactly.
Because that's what we do when we as artists actually create. Because to me, these are our look. I think as men, we have a yearning to create, right? Just like a female can create life, right?
Yeah.
And so we do that by, as artists, we do that by creating our music. Those are our children. That's our babies. And we really see it that way. I really see my music. I really see my art, my paintings as my something that I gave life to.
Yeah.
You know?
I do.
And that will also...
That will live on
when I'm no longer here.
I mean, to me, that's always been a main motivator.
Yeah.
You know, that's been... I think it was, for me personally, because I lost a lot of friends when I was younger. You know what I mean? And I saw you know, I like the first drummer of the Icarus Line or whatever we were called at the time. He died when we were 18 in a car wreck, you know, gone. And we all went to his funeral, and at his funeral, his parents talked about the band a lot, which was weird because they never wanted him in the band. They never wanted him to go do the shows. They were always trying to encourage him to do, you know, go to school, all this stuff. They were very against it. But then at the funeral, his brother got up and spoke about the band and said our names out loud and was describing us, and we didn't even know these people barely. Wow. You know what I mean? And that right there had a huge impact on my brain, because it was like, if this is all they remember about their son, they don't even really know their son. Because right. even he didn't want to be in the band half the time. You know what I mean? It's like, if this is all they know about them, they don't even know him. And, you know, a few other deaths kind of close to that made me realize that, you know, no one's going to remember these people. You know?
They're not.
No one's going to remember these people. I'm sure you know plenty of people that have gone and no one will remember them. You know, maybe a small handful of people will remember.
Yeah, but when those people are gone, then their memory is completely lost.
Their memory is gone.
Yeah.
And, you know, they deserved to be remembered more than what is going to happen. And I'm sure that goes for everybody's life.
Right, for most, yeah.
But it's always been a quest of mine to leave artifacts behind that not only commemorate my existence, but the existence of the people that are around me.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's been a powerful motivator for me. And I see it in your work too. You know, I see that like, it's, even though a lot of the songs are about your life, I think they still touch on a life and a lifestyle of people that you grew up with.
Yes,
know?
Of course. Because, you know, they are part of the whole tapestry of who I am.
Exactly.
You know, we've all in some way have experienced similar things. So even though I'm talking, you know, it's like my spiritual advisor usually likes to say is same, same, but different.
Yeah.
Same, same, but different.
What's
right?
That mean?
So it means that like a heartbreak, right?
Yeah.
If it's same, same, but different. You've had your heart broken. I've had my heart broken. So we understand what a heartbreak is, even though
yeah.
it's same, same, but different. Or
yeah.
a car accident. We all know what a car accident is. Same, same, but different. Like we've
yeah.
we've all experienced the same things, but in our own way. So we all can relate. So someone says, I've had my heart broken. All of a sudden, your body remembers that heartbreak that you experienced,
yeah.
and you can relate. But
yeah.
yours was different from mine.
Yeah.
You know, we've all experienced, you know, so many things, like, you know, our when we first felt every emotion, like love, jealousy, hate, anger,
yeah.
you know, when someone first, you know, made us feel inadequate or belittled, same, same from different. We've all felt that, the biggest to the toughest, to the smallest, to black, to white. We've all felt
universal,
love, hate,
universal
hunger,
emotions.
Same, same, but different.
Yeah.
And in that sense, yes, my music is personal, but there's still relevancy in it. There's
yeah.
still, people are going to be able to find same, same, but different.
Yeah, I understand that. All right, what else did I want to talk to you about on this thing? I was thinking, well, I wanted to ask you about opening for the big bands, because I've done it a lot.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, the first time we ever went on tour with, like, a massive band, we went on tour with this band, A Perfect Circle, you know, which was, like, they were huge. We had actually turned down a bunch of tours at that time. That band Muse had asked us to play,
mm-hmm.
and we were like, we just didn't see it, you know? And then finally, I think the record label kind of dug their heels in and was like, you know, if we're going to sell any of these fucking things, you guys are going to have to, like, go open up for a bigger band.
Yeah.
You know? So we were asked by A Perfect Circle, who, like, whatever, you know, was fine. It was like, okay, yeah, I guess so. They play guitars. They're loud.
Maybe, I remember A Perfect Circle,
yeah,
actually,
like
now.
Maynard from Tools.
Yeah.
Like,
His
cash grab band, you
yeah.
know? It was like Tool didn't want a tour, so we kind of put like Tool Light together and
yeah.
took them on the road or something like that. You know, some shit like that. But they were gracious to us, you know, and they brought us on tour. And I remember, you know, a couple weeks into it, we started playing shows. Most of the shows were in the Bible Belt of the country.
Wow.
So they're very sort of like, you know, religious fundamental areas of the country. And we had a song called Party the Baby Off, which I would announce the song, you know, every night because I knew it would get a reaction. And, man, I was like 25. I just wanted to see their fucking faces.
Yeah, yeah, you know yeah. I mean? I feel
like,
you.
Like, are you guys ready to party the baby off? You know, and everyone, you watch
you're
it.
You're like, what does that mean? Yeah, and then when they sinks in, they're like, this fool's talking about abortion.
Exactly, man. You know, yeah. Exactly. It finally clicks. And the hatred,
oh, even yeah.
before the song came
especially
in.
Especially yeah.
I mean, they were yeah. throwing everything in the room at me, you know, yeah. Quarters and shit, like mean shit, like want to take yeah. your eye out shit,
yeah.
you know what I mean? Everything that wasn't nailed down, they were throwing at the stage. And at the time, it was exhilarating and fucking scary because that's a lot of people, you know,
yeah.
that's like 7,000 people
shit.
In a room want to fuck you up. And that's
I've experienced that.
Yeah, and yeah. I was wondering, you know, I know you had some stuff like that
yeah.
go on, and I just wanted to know, like, what your personal take was on that and,
well,
like, how you dealt with it and all
you
that
know
shit.
I come from gang culture, you know, so
mm-hmm.
you know, that's always taught me to, you know, you fight fire with fire, you know.
Exactly.
And you don't no matter if
you
don't back down, even if the odds are stacked against you, you know, you keep fucking playing, you keep doing your thing, because you can't let them win.
Yeah.
You can never ever ever fucking show fear, you know, especially to those that are trying to, like, scare you,
intimidate
you know
you.
Intimidate you, so you don't,
they'll take the stage from you.
Yeah,
if they take the stage from you, it's not yours anymore.
Yeah.
That was always my perception of it. If they take the fucking stage from you, if you let them, that doesn't, I'm not saying they come up there and take it, but if they take,
yeah,
you,
if they
off,
make you stop and walk off, they've taken it from you.
You don't deserve the stage.
You agree. You don't
know?
You totally don't. If an audience and they're heckling
yeah.
gets you to fucking stop performing, you have no business up there.
Right.
You have no business up there. You just stop while you're, you know,
yeah, it's
while
not
you're
the
at
right
it.
Place.
You know.
Yeah.
So for me, I've experienced a couple times, you know, to me, it's never a problem opening up for bigger bands, and I love them, and I won't open up for bands that I don't love or respect.
Exactly.
I won't do it. I'm not there for the money.
There's got to be a connection.
Yeah, there's got to be
that's
a connection. I, and
exactly.
in some way, I fuck with...
You're friends with somebody,
yeah.
or they've shown love towards
yeah.
your project,
yeah.
and you can bond over some sort
something.
Of...
Yeah,
there's got to be
something. There has to be something there.
I agree.
Either than that, I won't open up for bands. Unless there's, you know...
Right.
Unless there's a bond or something, or something connecting us. But... You know, and out of respect for the band, you know, I obviously respect their audience, but if they don't respect me,
yeah.
then, you know, I'm not going to respect them either. You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
Respect is earned.
How long do you give them? How long did you give them? Like, when you're on stage?
Oh, immediately. As soon as they started attacking me, I started, you know, going
right
in and saying that, you know what? And my songs are very aggressive and very, like... vulnerable, and they're also very, like, fuck you.
Yeah.
So I'll dedicate songs to them. I have a song called Friends Are Poison. So I said, and this fucking song is dedicated to the fucking audience.
Yeah.
You know, and then it's Friends Are Poison, you know? So I was saying, your motherfuckers are poison, you know? You know? So, you know, as soon as I see their first, as soon as I see their teeth, man,
yeah.
As soon as I see their teeth, and I show mine too, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You have to,
you
know
where it's going.
Yeah, you know where it's going. Just as you know, just from being in violent environments, you see it. You
Do
know
you
when
think
someone's
you
already
as a kid would have been able to handle that like that. Like you as like 25.
Me as 25.
You know.
But yeah, I think so. I think I could have because you know I really believe that. Like, our personality and is already set once we turn 6 years old.
Yeah.
Once we're six, that's it. We are who we're going to
yeah,
be.
You're conscious.
Yeah, you're conscious. You know who you are. And
yeah.
I mean, we might not know, like, you know, math and shit like that. But
yeah.
all that stuff that we learn along the way is completely different from who. I feel like if you're a coward, you're already a coward at six.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And that's because I went to school for hypnosis and I studied the mind. And that's
right.
why I know that.
Okay.
So once you're six, that's your personality set.
You're
if you're brave, you're brave.
I mean, I believe you because, you know, I don't feel like I have changed much over the years. You know, I mean, habits change.
Habits. And, you know, our, like, you know, but our personality is what it is. And we do learn and we, you know, we make different choices. But but we are who our personality is.
We learn how to navigate our, our personalities into maybe, like, less treacherous territories than they might have gone. But yeah, I agree. I agree. I probably am the same person I was when, since I was a kid.
Yeah, I know I have been. I mean, I've actually been less violent as I gotten older. As a kid, I was really violent.
Likewise.
You know? Likewise. So I feel like, but I still have that. It's just that now I know that it's not really going to fucking behoove me. I don't want to end up in prison, so I'm just smarter, you know. Before I had less to lose.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And that's, you know, I think one of the things that has changed, but not really much has other than that.
I think. Do you think that music kind of like offered some sort of like escape
an outlet
from violence?
Yeah, it has for me. I can honestly say that music has saved my life and kept me from going to prison.
But even before like
before I started playing music,
before prayer,
music for me was
found music. Do you remember yourself before you really like had music?
Yes, of course. I found an identity through music, and actually I found an escape because me coming from my background of being a Chicano gang member, you know, my reality was violence, drugs, and all, you know. So I couldn't escape that if it wasn't for the music that I was listening to. And luckily, when I where I was, because of the school that I went to and where I was growing up, I was introduced to bands like Christian Death and Joy Division. And I was able
to...
Shit that wasn't in the neighborhood. So that's how I escaped from my reality. So I didn't want to be listening to the music that that was already representing the life that I was living, which was just like, you know, dead ends, you know, just violence,
limited
death.
Limited choices.
Instead, I would listen to, you know, fucking New Order, and I would have these amazing melodies, and I would just be walking through my neighborhood and be like, and just feeling different, like if I was in a different world. So music helped helped me out immensely. It was like my only friend outside of what I was living. Yeah. So for me, music really was an escape.
Well, it gave you some sort of sign that there was another place that
there was other realities and other people living differently from what I was seeing.
Yeah.
Because what I was seeing was just, I mean, I was getting shot at coming out of my house. Like, my parents used to put furniture up against the fucking front door every night.
Yeah.
Because our door was made out of glass and it'd get shot out all the time. And that was my reality. Every time I went to school, I never walked out the front door. I would jump out the back window.
Yeah.
And walk out through the back.
Fucking
You man. Know? So music, and then I went to a white school. I lived in a Chicano neighborhood.
Did you go to a magnet school?
I went to a magnet school. Yeah.
Nice.
So I was lucky enough to go to a school at Pacific Beach, which is a good neighborhood. You know, it's a surf town, and that neighborhood was punk and goth. And I went to school, and all my friends were white, and they introduced me to the sound. And I would stay after school and hang out at the beach with them and drop acid, and then I'd go home to the barrio.
Yeah.
And I lived these two worlds, you know? And that's why now I'm fucking in a band. Our genre is cholo goth because
that's what I
grew up. I went to this school and I hung out with these people, and this is the music that I was into and that I loved and resonated with me. And then my reality was also I was a gang member, and I grew up in this neighborhood, and I was a gang member because you had to survive back then. If not, my family wouldn't be able to even go to the store. You know, so you had to be part of that tapestry and part of the environment just to be able to live there. If not, you're getting robbed, you're getting fucking beat up, and your life is hell. So I was like, okay, in order for me to survive and for my family to not make the, you know, have to be in, getting fucked with, I gotta join this gang so they don't have to. So my brothers don't have to. So my sisters don't have to. Even though my sister did join, you know, I have two sisters. One of them joined.
Was she younger than you?
She was younger than me.
Yeah.
And it made life easier for our entire family because they were like, that's a Sherman family. They have children. Like, okay. They're a part of this gang. Okay. So they're okay. They can go to the store and they can do their thing. But secretly, I was this other person. Until finally, I was, you know, until I couldn't help myself and I just had to fight it. And then you know, people knew that I was living a double life, and then it was just crossing over too much, man.
Questioning you about it, like
they didn't like it because they thought I wasn't I was making them look bad. I still get that, man. You go to my fucking YouTube channel, you look at my fucking views, and you look at the fucking
the comments,
and people are saying that I'm misrepresenting our culture,
right?
You know. And I said, who are you the authority on what our fucking culture is?
Yeah, exactly.
What makes you the authority? It makes you think that you know, and why are you giving me that much responsibility?
Yeah.
Or you know, or saying that I have the card on what fucking being Mexican is and being a gang member is.
Yeah.
I think not. You know what I mean? Yeah. I think I'm just me, and there's a lot out there that are like me. And I've become that beacon, like we were talking earlier. Yeah. I've become that beacon for those that have lived a life similar to mine, where they grew up in a barrio, but they grew up loving this type of music that's not fucking gangster rap.
Or some other kind of music.
Or some other kind of music. I mean?
That's a thing. It can apply to kids that grew up on anything that doesn't really fall into, you know, the certain sect that they were kind of raised on, you know?
So for me, you know... Yes, I fought to look the way I look. I fought to listen to the music that I listen to, and you know. But in the process, it's made me who I am. And before, I used to I didn't have an identity, Joe, for a long time, and I really struggled with it for a long, long time. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I realized there's a lot of people out there that struggle with identity.
Of course.
You know. And now that I've become who I am, and that I have an identity, others.
Your own identity.
My own identity.
You know what I mean? That's the thing. People struggle with it, but then run.
It took me fucking 40 years, you know?
They run to something to give them identity instead of looking inside.
So now that I've become who I am, and it's beautiful to see others coming out of the woodworks and embracing and celebrating what I am and finding identity through me.
Yeah.
And saying, oh shit, you put a fucking label to it. We're Cholo Goths too. We grew up in this fucking neighborhood, Chicano, we're Mexican, Latino, whatever. And, you know, we're not, you know, identifying with what the neighborhood or society wants us to fucking label us as.
Yeah.
You know, we want to also, and you see it in other cultures too. Like, you see the black guys that don't want to be fucking hip-hop or playing basketball. They want to be in fucking punk bands.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. And vice versa. You see the white guys that don't want to be fucking rock and roll heads, and, you know, they want to fucking be hip-hop guys and, you know, wiggers or whatever. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
You see it. It's just like, you there's stuff out there that resonates with you. And just because of race or gender or whatever, it means that we can't be part of it? No, fuck that.
Yeah.
We break those stereotypes down. And we go with what our spirit yearns for, you know? And that's why I've always wanted to fucking be this, you know? I always wanted to be in a fucking band. I always wanted to fucking be in a fucking goth band, you know what I mean?
And you did it.
And now I am, you know?
I think that's good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You got it,
thank
brother.
You. We did it. We did it. Good night, everyone.
Good night.